And it came to pass that when the earth was formed, Moses was saying, from the rise of the Lord, and when his enemies be scattered, and those who need to flee from before you. For from thine shall go forth the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem. Blessed be he who gave the Torah to his people of Israel in his holiness.
Adonai said to Moshe and Aharon, "This is the regulation from the Torah which Adonai has commanded. Tell the people of Israel to bring you a young red female cow without fault or defect and which has never borne a yoke. You are to give it to Eleazar the Kohen. It is to be brought outside the camp and slaughtered in front of him. Eleazar the Kohen is to take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle the blood toward the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. The heifer is to be burned to ashes before his eyes. Its skin, meat, blood, and dung is to be burned to ashes. The Kohen is to take cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet yarn and throw them onto the heifer as it is burning up. Then the Kohen is to wash his clothes and himself in water, after which he may re-enter the camp. But the Kohen will remain unclean until evening. The person who burned up the heifer is to wash his clothes and himself in water, but he will remain unclean until evening. A man who is clean is to collect the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. They are to be kept for the community of the people of Israel to prepare water for purification from sin. The one who collected the ashes of the heifer is to wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. For the people of Israel and for the foreigner staying with them, this will be a permanent regulation. Anyone who touches a corpse, no matter whose dead body it is, will be unclean for 7 days. He must purify himself with these ashes on the third and the seventh days. Then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself the third and seventh days, he will not be clean. Anyone who touches a corpse, no matter whose dead body it is, and does not purify himself, has defiled the tabernacle of Adonai. That person will be cut off from Israel because the water for purification was not sprinkled on him. He will be unclean. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law. When a person dies in a tent, everyone who enters the tent and everything in the tent will be unclean for 7 days. Every open container without a cover closely attached is unclean. Also, whoever is in an open field and touches a corpse, whether of someone killed by a weapon or of someone who died naturally, or the bone of a person, or a grave, will be unclean for 7 days. For the unclean person, they are to take some of the ashes of the animal burned up as a purification from sin and add them to fresh water in a container.
A clean person is to take a bunch of hyssop leaves, dip it in the water and sprinkle it on the tent, on all the containers, on the people who were there, and on the person who touched the bone or the person killed or the one who died naturally or the grave. The clean person will sprinkle the unclean person on the third and seventh days. On the seventh day, he will purify him. Then he will wash his clothes and himself in water, and he will be clean at evening. The person who remains unclean and does not purify himself will be cut off from the community because he has defiled the sanctuary of Adonai. The water of purification has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. This is to be a permanent regulation for them. The person who sprinkles the water for purification is to wash his clothes. Whoever touches the water for purification will be unclean until evening. Anything the unclean person touches will be unclean, and anyone who touches him will be unclean until evening. The people of Israel, the whole community, entered the Sin Desert in the first month, and they stayed in Kadesh. There Miriam died, and there she was buried. Because the community had no water, they assembled themselves against Moshe and Aharon. The people quarreled with Moshe and said, "We wish we had died when our brothers died before Adonai. Why did you bring Adonai's community into this desert? To die there, we and our livestock. Why did you make us leave Egypt? To bring us to this terrible place without seed, figs, grapevines, pomegranates, or even water to drink?" Moshe and Aharon left the assembly, went to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces, and the glory of Adonai appeared to them.
Yehovah said to Moshe, "Take the staff, assemble the community, you and Aaron your brother, and before their eyes tell the rock to produce its water. You will bring them water out of the rock and thus enable the community and their livestock to drink." Moshe took the staff from the presence of Yehovah, as he had ordered him. But after Moshe and Aaron had assembled the community in front of the rock, he said to them, "Listen here, you rebels, as we supposed to bring you water from the rock, from this rock." Then Moshe raised his hand and hit the rock twice with his staff. Water flowed out in abundance, and the community and their livestock drank. But Yahovah said to Moshe and Aaron, because you did not trust in me so as to cause me to be regarded as holy by the people of Israel, you will not bring this community into the land I have given them. This is
Meribah.
Meribah Spring, Disputation Spring, where the people of Israel disputed with Yahovah, and he was caused to be regarded as holy by them.
Moshe sent messengers from the Kadesh to the king of Edom. This is what your brother Israel says. You know that all the troubles we have gone through, that our ancestors went down into Egypt. We lived in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians treated us and our ancestors badly. But when we cried out to Adonai, he heard us, sent an angel, and brought us out of Egypt. Now here we are in the Kadesh, a city at the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through your land. We will not go through the fields or vineyards, and we won't drink any of the water from your wells. We will go along the king's highway, not turning aside either to the right or to the left until we have left your territory. But Edom answered, you are not to pass through my land. If you do, I will come out against you with the sword. The people of Israel replied, we will keep to the highway. If we do drink the water, either we or our livestock, we will pay for it. Just let us pass through on foot. It's nothing. But he said, you are not to pass through. And Edom came out against them with many people and much force. Thus Edom refused to allow Israel passage through its territory. So Israel turned away.
They traveled on from Kadesh, and the people of Israel, the whole community, arrived at Mount Hor. At Mount Hor, the border of the land of Edom, Adonai said to Moshe and Aaron, Aaron is about to be gathered to his people, because he is not to enter the land I have given to the people of Israel, inasmuch as you rebelled against what I said at the Meribah spring. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, bring them up to Mount Hor. Remove the garments from Aaron and put them on Eleazar. Aaron will be gathered to his people. He will die there. Moshe did as Adonai had ordered. They went up onto Mount Hor before the eyes of the whole community. Moshe removed the garments from Aaron and put them on Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moshe and Eleazar came down the mountain. When the entire community saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned Aaron 30 days, the whole house of Israel. Then the king of Arad, a Canaanite who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was approaching by way of Atarim. So he attacked Israel and took some of them captive. Israel made a vow to Adonai, if you will hand this people over to me, I will completely destroy their cities. Adonai listened to what Israel said, and handed over the Canaanim. So they completely destroyed them and their cities and named the place Hormah, complete destruction. Then they traveled from Mount Hor on the roads toward the Sea of Suf in order to go around the land of Edom. But the people's tempers grew short because of the detour. The people spoke against God and against Moshe. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To die in the desert? There's no real food, there's no water, and we're sick of this miserable stuff we're eating.
In response, Adonai sent poisonous snakes among the people. They bit the people, and many of Israel's people died. The people came to Moshe and said, we sinned by speaking against Adonai and against you. Pray to Adonai that he rid us of these snakes. Moshe prayed for the people, and Adonai answered Moshe, make a poisonous snake and put it on a pole. When anyone who has bitten sees it, he will live. Moshe made a bronze snake and put it on the pole. If a snake had bitten someone, then when he looked towards the bronze snake, he stayed alive. The people of Israel traveled on and camped at Ovot. From Ovot, they traveled and camped at Iye Ha'avarim, in the desert, fronting Moab on the east. From there they traveled and camped in Vadi Zered. From there they traveled and camped on the other side of the Arnon in the desert. This river comes out of the territory of the Emori, for the Arnon is the boundary between Moab and the Emori. This is why it says in the book of the words of Adonai, Vahav at Sufa, the Vadis of Arnon, and the slope of the Vadis extending as far as the site of Ar, which lie next to the territory of Moab. From there they went on to Be'er, that is the well about which Adonai said to Moshe, assemble the people, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing to the well, sunk by the princes, dug by the people's leaders, with the scepter, with their staffs. From the desert they went to Matana, from Matana to Nakaliel, from Nakaliel to Bamot, and from Bamot to the valley by the plain of Moab, at the start of the Pisgah range, where it overlooks the desert.
Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, with this message. Let me pass through your land. We won't turn aside into fields or vineyards, and we won't drink any water from the wells. We will go along the king's highway until we have left your territory. But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through this, through his territory. Instead, Sihon mustered all his people and went out into the desert to fight Israel. On reaching Yahaz, he fought Israel. Israel defeated him by force of arms and took control of his land from the Arnon to the Yabbok River, but only as far as the people of Ammon, because the territory of the people of Ammon was well defended. Israel took all these cities. Israel lived in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and all its surrounding towns. Heshbon was a city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and conquered all his land up to the Arnon. This is why the storytellers say, come to Heshbon, let it be rebuilt, let Sihon's city be restored. For fire burst out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It consumed Ar of Moab, the lords of Arnon's high places. Woe to you, Moab, you are destroyed, people of Chemosh. He let his sons be fugitives and his daughters captives of Sihon, king of the Amorites. We shot them down. Heshbon is destroyed, all the way to Divon. We even laid waste to Nophach, which extends as far as Medva. Then Israel lived in the land of the Amorites. Moshe sent men to reconnoiter Yazer. They captured its towns and drove out the Amorites who were there. Then they turned and went up along the road to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, marched out against them, he with all his people, to fight at Edrei. Adonai said to Moshe, don't be afraid of him, for I have handed him over to you with all his people and his land. You will treat him just as you did Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon. So they struck him down with his sons and all his people, until there was no one left alive, and they took control of his land. Then the people of Israel traveled on and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Yarden River, opposite Jericho.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who selected good prophets and was pleased with their words which were spoken truthfully. Blessed are you, O Lord, who chooses the Torah, who serves Moses, your people Israel, and prophets of truth and righteousness.
After our reading is from Shoftim chapter 11, that's Judges chapter 11.
Now Iftah, a brave soldier from Gilead was a son of a prostitute. His father Gilead had other sons by his wife, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Iftah away and told him, you will not inherit from our father because you are another woman's son. Then Iftah fled from his brothers and lived in the territory of Tov, where he enlisted a gang of rowdies who would go out raiding with him. After a while, the people of Ammon made war against Israel, and when the army of Ammon attacked Israel, and the leaders of Gilead went to fetch Iftah from the territory of Tov and said to him, come and be our chief so that we can fight the army of Ammon. Iftah answered the leaders of Gilead, didn't you hate me so much that you forced me out of your father's house? Why are you coming to me now when you're in trouble? The leaders of Gilead replied, here is why we're come back to you now. If you lead us in war with the people of Ammon, you will be head over everyone living in Gilead. Iftah answered them, if you bring me back home to fight the army of Ammon and Adonai defeats them for me, I will be your head. The leaders of Gilead said to Iftah, Adonai is witness that we promised to do what you have said. Then Iftah went with the leaders of Gilead, and the people made him head and chief over them. Iftah repeated all of these conditions to Mizpah in the presence of Adonai. Iftah sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon to say, "What's your problem with us? Why are you invading our territory?" The king of Ammon answered the messengers of Iftah, "Because Israel took away my territory when they came up from Egypt. They took everything from the Arnon to the Yabbok and the Jordan, now restored peacefully." Iftah sent messengers again to the king of the people of Ammon with this response. "Here is what Iftah has to say. Israel captured neither the territory of Moab nor the territory of the people of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, walked through the desert to the Red Sea, and arrived at Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom to say, 'Please let us pass through your land.' But the king of Edom wouldn't let them. He sent a similar message to the king of Moab, but neither would he. So Israel stayed at Kadesh. Then they walked through the desert around the territory of Edom and the territory of Moab, past the east border of the territory of Moab, and pitched camp on the other side of the Arnon. But they did not cross the border into Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab."
Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorite, and king of Heshbon with this message: "Please let us pass through your land to our own place." But Sihon did not trust that Israel would only pass through his land. So he gathered all his people together, pitched camp in Yahatz, and fought against Israel. Jehovah, the king of Israel, handed Sihon and all his people over to Israel, and they killed them. Thus Israel possessed all of the territory of the Amorite who lived there. They took possession of all the territory of the Amorite from the Arnon to the Yabbok, and from the desert to the Jordan. So now that Jehovah, the God of Israel, has expelled the Amorite before his people, Israel, do you think that you will expel us? You should just keep the territory your God Chemosh has given you, while we, for our part, will hold on to whatever Jehovah, our God, has given us of the lands that belonged to others before us. Really, are you better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever pick a quarrel with Israel or fight with us? Israel lived in Heshbon and its villages in Aroer and its villages and in all the cities on the bank of the Arnon for 300 years. Why didn't you take them back during that time? No, I have done you no wrong, but you are doing me wrong to war against me. May Jehovah the judge be judge today between the people of Israel and the people of Ammon." But the king of the people of Ammon paid no attention to the message Iftah sent him. Then the spirit of Jehovah came upon Iftah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, on through Mizpah of Gilead, and from there over to the people of Ammon. Iftah made a vow to Jehovah: "If you will hand the people of Ammon over to me, then whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon will belong to Jehovah. I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." So Iftah crossed over to fight the people of Ammon, and Jehovah handed them over to him. He killed them from Aroer until you reach Minit, 20 cities, all the way to Avel Karamim. It was a massacre. So the people of Ammon were defeated before the people of Israel.
There is a very interesting observation here as we read about the wars that Israel had with the people surrounding him. When we read that, one of the first observations that comes to us is, what an incredible, violent God this is, who massacres through his people everybody that they come in contact with. Unfortunately, when we read God's word in that way, we miss the essence of what he is telling us. Because the fight is not against people. The fight is against the spirits, the the wrong spirits, the harsh spirits, the false gods that these people follow. It's as much a spiritual warfare as it is a physical warfare. For Adonai Elohim Tzevaot was fighting against the principalities of darkness, against the spirits of the enemy, the adversary. And the people who followed them also were filled with the spirits of darkness. And had they been left to perpetuate the false prophets and the false worship, they would have infected Israel, which, as we see, they ultimately did.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the sign of Yeshua and the teachings of the new covenant. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the apostolic scriptures. Amen.
Our first reading from the apostolic scriptures is from the book of John, chapter 3.
There was a man among the Perushim named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Judeans. This man came to Yeshua by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know it is from God that you have come as a teacher, for no one can do these miracles you perform unless God is with him." "Yes, indeed," Yeshua answered him, "I tell you that unless a person is born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a grown man be born? Can he go back into his mother womb and be born a second time?" Yeshua answered, "Yes, indeed. I tell you that unless a person is born from water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born from the flesh is flesh, and what is born from the Spirit is spirit. Stop being amazed at my telling you that you must be born again from above. The wind blows where it wants to, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. Then how is it with everyone who has been born? That's how it is with everyone who has been born from the Spirit." Nicodemus replied, "How can this happen?" Yeshua answered him, "You hold the office of teacher in Israel, and you don't know this? Yes, indeed, I tell you that what we speak about, we know, and what we give evidence of, we have seen. But you people don't accept our evidence. If you people don't believe me when I tell you about the things of the world, how will you believe me when I tell you about the things of heaven? No one has gone up into heaven. There is only the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his own, only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but rather so that through him the world might be saved. Those who trust in him are not judged. Those who do not trust have been judged already, in that they have not trusted in the one who is God's only and unique Son. Now this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their actions were wicked. For everyone who does evil things hates the light and avoids it, so that his actions won't be exposed. But everyone who does what is true comes to the light, so that all may see that his actions are accomplished through God. Amen.
I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 26 to 37 and 44 to 50. If any man serve me, let him follow me, And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Hallelujah. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
This is the Torah which Moses placed before the children of Israel. It is the cord of the last man, by the hand of Moses. A tree of life it is for those who take hold of it, and blessed are the ones who support it. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Long life is in its right hand, and in its left are riches and honor. How did I was pleased with the sake of his righteousness, render the Torah great and glorious.
When the ark rested,
Moses would say, return, O Adonai, to the myriads of Israel's families. Arise, O Adonai, to your resting place, you and your mighty ark. Clothe your priests with righteousness. May those who experience the faithful love shout for joy.
Gives us the living word in the sight of Yeshua. Amen. Amen.